We kind of have a saying that we haven't said in a long time because it's been Christmas and then the new year, I told you some other things. So we here at Youth Group, Calvary Chapel of the High Desert, high school ministry, we like to say we're captured, we're transformed, we're united. It's just a not so clever way of saying I'm saved, I'm being transformed or discipled, and we are one. We are united together. We are one church body, not just as a high school group, but we are one church body when it comes to the whole church. Whoever believes in Jesus becomes an adopted child of God. And so we all become brothers and sisters in Jesus. It's really that simple. God calls us his adopted children. He has his one begotten son, Jesus. And then all of us are his begotten, or not his begotten, I just messed it up, are his adopted children. And so we become brothers and sisters in Christ, which means we are part of one unit, one family, one body. So saved, we're being changed, we are one. And so we're going to continue as one and read James chapter 3, starting in verse 1 this evening. Someone say, the Bible says. Someone say it louder. Okay, I guess we'll go with that. The Bible says in James chapter 3, starting in verse 1, my brethren, which we just talked about, notice, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. It's pretty lofty. Verse 7, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Let's go before the Lord and pray. Father, we come before you, and Lord, we know we come before you because we come before your word. And Lord, we understand that the word has been brought to us, this Bible that sits in our laps or on our phones, it's been brought to us to reveal who you are to us. And Lord, we understand that every time we open it, we come into your presence. Lord, we sit at your feet and you teach us, you instruct us, you encourage us, you convict us, you guide us, you lead us when we open your word. Lord, we thank you that you can do that. Lord, we in faith expect you to do that as we open your word this evening. Lord, there may be doubters in this room. There may be skeptics who say, we open up God's word. But Lord, we understand that there's authority, that there is power in this word that you've given to us. And Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that you in no way have left us wondering who you are or what you have said. But Lord, we can know 100% because we have it in our Bibles. And so Lord, we thank you. As we come before you tonight, we ask and pray that you would be honored and glorified. That, Lord, we would enter into this holy of holies, enter into your presence with a reverence for our God. With a reverence when maybe it's not our God that we're entering into the presence of, but it is God we are entering the presence of. He's not my God, but he's a God. And so, Lord, may we have reverence for the God who created everything. The God who is the reason why I can breathe, because he breathed life into my nostrils. So, Lord, may we have a reverence tonight. May we pay attention. May we have ears that are open, hearts that are open, eyes that are open to see these things that you are trying to say to us. So Lord, as we've come, may you be honored and glorified. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Since the beginning of time, people have used their tongues in powerful ways. Since Adam and Eve, since just Adam and God in the garden, they even communicated Adam and God through language. They've used their tongues, and people have used their tongues in powerful ways. The tongue can influence and inspire. The same tongue that can influence and inspire is also the same tongue that can express emotion, such as love or frustration or joy or hate. The same tongue can encourage the brokenhearted with words of affirmation. It's a powerful tongue. And because of this tongue that God has given to us, the tongue that we see in Scripture here tonight, because of this tongue, we understand that people will travel from all over the world to come and see someone who is going to speak something, whether it's someone who's going to speak a song. People will travel to go and see a singer. Whether it's someone who's going to speak a poem, people will come and hear the words of a poem. Whether it's someone who's going to speak words of encouragement, whether it's someone who's going to speak and communicate because they're a family member and you just visited them at Christmas time. But people come from all over the world to hear people speak and use the tongue that God has given to them. People have traveled all over the world for famous speakers. I think of a few, Winston Churchill. People traveled all over the world trying to get in the vicinity of him when he gave a speech. Martin Luther King Jr. is another one that people wanted to hear from. Abraham Lincoln, Charles Spurgeon, all are well-known speakers that people, even back in that time when it was hard to travel, they traveled afar. They traveled day after day after day to hear these speakers because they were well-known. They're some of the most even celebrated speakers of our time. Not even our time, but of all time. And one of the greatest speeches that we celebrate even today was one that was given by Patrick Henry in 1775. This is not something that you can go and look up on YouTube and go, oh, Daniel says this is a great speech, so I'm going to look it up on YouTube. This is before YouTube by a few years, 1775. But Patrick Henry, he gave this great speech, and one of the lines in the speech, he said this, "Give me liberty or give me death." You may have heard that in school. Give me liberty or give me death. One of the greatest speeches of all time. And this speech, it actually inspired a seventh grader. There's a story of a seventh grader who heard this speech, "Give me liberty or give me death," and he was inspired by it. And so he decided, hey, I want to go before my whole entire school and I want to give this speech. I want them to hear about it. I want them to feel what it was like to be there when Patrick Henry said those words, "Give me liberty or give me death." So he was nervous, he was shaking, he went up before everyone, and even as he was nervous, everything was going great. I mean, he was nailing it, the speech was amazing, until he got to his great line, and he said, "Give me puberty or give me death." Oh man, poor seventh grader. Tonight, God's word speaks about this tongue. God's word gives us some direction, some insight, some guidance when it comes to the tongue that he has created and given to us. The tongue where we speak encouragement or speak different things into people's lives. And so tonight what I want to do is I believe God's word gives us two necessary truths we need to understand about the tongue. Two things that we need to have an understanding of when it comes to speaking or using our tongue. The first one is this. Number one, the tongue is powerful. The tongue is powerful. Look at your Bible in verse 3 of chapter 3. It says this. "Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths and that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell." What James is telling us, what God's word is telling us tonight, is the tongue is powerful. The tongue here is compared to three powerful examples. It's compared to a horse. I don't know how much you know about horses, but if you've ever been near a horse is a powerful thing. It makes you a little nervous because it is more powerful than you. Also, this tongue is compared to a ship. I don't know if you've been on a cruise or you've been down the Long Beach or you've seen one of those massive like carnival cruises even from afar. You're like, that thing is massive, but a ship is large. It's powerful. So the tongue's compared to a horse, a ship, and also a fire. All of us are all too familiar with forest fires here in Southern California. We hear about them every year. And though the bit for the horse's mouth is small, it is powerful enough to control the whole horse. Though the rudder is really insignificant, it is powerful enough to steer the whole ship. So we have here, you know, this bit that is small, powerful enough to control the horse. A rudder that is insignificant, powerful enough to steer the ship. We understand that though a fire is easily controlled, we have fireplaces at home, we build fires, it's easily controlled. We also understand that it is powerful enough to engulf a whole forest. You see, what I want to point out to you and what James is trying to point out to you is this: though your tongue may be small, it's powerful enough to control you, just like the bit controls the horse. Though your tongue may seem insignificant, it's powerful enough to steer the direction of your life, just like the ship. Though your tongue may seem easily controlled, it's powerful enough to burn and engulf the relationships that you have with other people, even in this room, just like the bit in the horse's mouth, just like the rudder of the ship, and just like a fire. Your tongue is the same way. It can control your life. It can control the direction your life is going, and it can leave your relationships engulfed in flames. Notice what God's word is telling us. It's telling us this. This is kind of the highlight of this teaching. Write it down. Remember it. God's word is telling us this. The tongue controls me, steers the direction of my life, and has the power to destroy my relationships. This tongue that is in my mouth controls me, steers the direction of my life, and has the power to destroy my relationships. In other words, to shorten that up, the tongue has the power to control or destroy. The tongue has the power to control or it has the power to destroy. If this is the case, if this is what God's word is telling us, that the tongue is so powerful, it has the power to control or destroy. If this is the case, there's a question all of us have to ask ourselves this very evening. And it's this: who or what has control over my tongue? Who or what in my life has control over this powerful tongue that controls me, steers me, and has the power to destroy my relationships? I want to give you a couple of examples of what may have control of your tongue this very evening. First thing that may have control of your tongue is no control. There may be nothing that is controlling your tongue. Well, let me show you what this looks like. Some people have no control over their tongue and they say whatever comes to their mind. It's literally no control. It's like whatever comes to my mind, it comes out. We've all known people like that. Maybe we are a person like that. And it's like, literally, it's like, did you even think before that came out of your mouth? Seriously? Like, you have friends like that. That's called no control, this powerful tongue. Some people have no control. And what does this do? This leads this person to being out of control, having no direction, and burning many people. They're out of control. Their life is out of control. They have no direction for their life because they just say whatever they want and they go around and all that's left behind is burnt person after burnt person after burnt person because they have no control over their tongue. A second thing that may have control over your tongue is your emotions. Emotions may control your tongue. You see, this is a person who says whatever it is that they are feeling. You know, it's kind of very similar to that no control, but it's really just driven by emotions. You know, if they're feeling good today, they have joyful things that they say with their tongue. If they're feeling bad, it's just, woe is me, Eeyore, saying bad things. If they're angry, then all of a sudden they're that person that's just angry at you. It's the person that you kind of look at in your life and like, man, they're schizophrenic. They're happy one day, they're sad the next day, they're mad the next day. It's like, I can't keep up with this person. I don't know if I want to be friends with them anymore. That's because they're controlled. Their tongue, what comes out of their mouth, is controlled by emotions. What James wants to point out to us here is this: if we have no control over our tongue, or if our emotions are in control of our tongue, James tells us our tongues are like a fire. So if I stand in this room tonight and if I have no control over what comes out of my mouth, and if I stand here tonight and it's my emotions that have the control of what comes out of my mouth, James says your tongue is like a fire. Look at verse 5. Let me remind you. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body, sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. This is crazy. If you have no control of your tongue, or if your emotions control it, your tongue is a fire. And it's interesting to us. I'm very interested as I was studying this text, this illustration that James brings to us, this illustration of a fire, is very interesting because of a couple things. It's interesting because how many of us have been burned by someone who has gossiped about us? And literally, it leaves you feeling burned. It's kind of that idea that you confided in someone something very personal, whether it was a struggle, whether it was something personal, and you confided in that person, and they took what you said and they spread it around like a wildfire. And one little thing that you said, just a tiny little thing, a 5-minute conversation of just, I feel like I can open up to this person. I feel like I can trust this person. And they betrayed that trust. And just like a fire, as they sparked and said it to someone else, that spark got out and it set it ablaze to where everyone knew this personal thing. And one little ounce of gossip, one little thing that was spoken, and it spread around the whole church. And you even come into this room tonight and you may be a little embarrassed and ashamed and scared because you go, I don't know what people are thinking about me because I know that fire has spread. It's interesting to me how he uses this fire illustration. You see, when you look at forest fires, they all started with one little spark. They didn't start big. They started tiny. They started small. I even looked up the ranch fire that we had last year. It was the biggest fire that California has ever seen. The ranch fire burned in mid-2018 and it burned 459,123 acres. To put that kind of in, like, what is an acre? Most of us live on half acre or smaller lots here in the high desert. So that's over 800,000 homes. Like if you go home and you go, what's an acre? Take your half acre lot that you may be living on, double it, that's an acre. And that's 459,123 acres, or almost 900,000 actually areas of what you live on. It reached an excess of $257 million in damages. 146 homes were destroyed by a fire that was started because of one little spark. You see, one spark leads to a whole massive area being destroyed. One gossipful comment leads to a whole person being destroyed. And I'm here to tell you, I want you to know something when it comes to this one little gossipful comment that leads to a person being destroyed. I want you to understand that God cares for that one person being destroyed more than he cares for that 459,000 acres being destroyed. God cares about your one little comment that you made that spread about the whole church. God cares about that person that you made that comment about much more than any other thing that is here on this planet. And so you may be going, wow, well, at least it's only one person. No, God cares for the person more. One gossipful comment leads to a whole person being destroyed. What others say to us and what we say to others can last a long time, for good or for evil. What comes out of my mouth, what others say of me, so what I say to them, what they say to me, it can last a lifetime. You come to places where you'll never get it back. There's certain things about you that someone says, remember when we were in junior high and you said that one thing? And sometimes it's that joyful moment. You have a friend that's sitting next to you and you had these silly junior high moments where you had sleepovers and it was funny and it was silly. He's like, remember that one time that came out of your mouth and you laugh about it? See, it's the same thing when it comes to evil things that come out of your mouth. People remember. It can last a lifetime. It becomes who you are because you let it out. You see, the casual, sarcastic, or critical remark can inflict lasting injury upon a person. It can burn them. Or the well-timed encouragement or compliment can inspire someone for the rest of their life. You see, you can either be critical and sarcastic and inflict a lasting injury upon someone in this room or someone in your life, or you can use this tongue, this powerful tongue, to inspire, to encourage, to compliment, which is going to help someone for the rest of their life. My question to myself My question, I believe God's word wants us to evaluate, is what are you more known for? Are you more known for those critical judgments and sarcastic remarks coming out of your mouth? Or are you more known for the encouragement and the inspiration that can last a lifetime in someone's life? Has your powerful tongue destroyed others, destroyed relationships, or have you brought about powerful encouragement? Doing one or the other. So we've seen, we see that the tongue is powerful. God's word is really clear that the tongue is powerful. Now we see number two. Number two, the Bible tells us the tongue is uncontrollable. The tongue is powerful, number one. Number two, the tongue is uncontrollable. Look at verse 7 in your Bible. It says, "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or in the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so." What's great about this scripture is another illustration here that we find. And it's an illustration where God's word tells us that man can tame wild animals. God's word says it. Man has tamed wild animals, of the birds or of the air, the birds of the air or the reptiles or the creatures of the sea. Man has tamed them. This is great. But the tongue, he has no answers for. I mean, this is kind of interesting. Man has tamed wild animals, from birds of the air to land creatures to sea creatures, but the tongue he has no answer for. It's much like the group of men from Nigeria that they call the Hyena Boys. What a funny name. But it's a group of men who live in Nigeria, and they're called the Hyena Boys. And what they are is they are fearless nomadic traders who are in a family business. They have a family business, these Hyena Boys, this group of men. What's their business? This is their business. They are animal handlers who tame wild hyenas from a young age and have an entourage of snakes and baboons in football outfits. They have a group of baboons, no joke, in football outfits, football attire. That's how well they've tamed baboons. That's how well they've tamed hyenas. That's how well they've tamed snakes. You see, men can tame lions and tigers and bears, oh my. We can do it. We can tame lions and tigers and bears, oh my. But the tongue, it is uncontrollable for us to conquer. We've conquered all types of animals. We've brought them into submission. We can walk by them. We can take a tiger and be like, I'm not afraid of that tiger because I've tamed it. It's no longer wild. But I can't tame this uncontrollable tongue. I can't conquer it. This tongue that we possess, that is uncontrollable, God's word says it is full of deadly poison in verse 8. The tongue in your mouth is full of venom. It is full of poison, much like a snake or much like something else, a spider that is full of deadly poison. Matthew Poole, he's a commentator on this section of scripture. He says this better than I can, so I'm just going to quote him. He says, "The poison of the tongue is deadly. It murders men's reputations by the slanders it utters, their souls by the lusts and passions it stirs up in them, and many times their bodies too by the contentions and quarrels it raises against men." I have to read that again. The poison of the tongue is deadly. It murders men's reputations by the slanders it utters, their souls by the lusts and passions it stirs up in them, and many times their bodies too by the contentions and quarrels it raises against men. This tongue that is in our mouth is poisonous. And God's word shows us, it continues on. James continues painting this picture, this poisonous picture. He continues on and he shows us that this poison oftentimes reveals itself in the form of hypocrisy. Look down at your Bible once more. Verse 9 says this, "With it, this tongue, we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so." What James is saying here is one moment we're in youth group. And one moment we're sitting there. And John Goodman and the ladies are up here on stage. And they're up here. And as we're worshiping and we're in the middle of a worship service, one moment you're praising God in this worship service and you're sitting there and there's other people around the room and you can hear their voices and you see John Goodman and someone raises their hands and people are clapping and you are worshiping God. You are blessing his name. And then the next moment, youth group is over and we begin to curse others by gossiping about them. So this same mouth that you were just worshiping and others could see you worshiping, like, man, that person is just so full of worship tonight. Praise the Lord for that person. They're setting such a good example. And the next moment they look over and you're in your group of friends and that same mouth, that same tongue that you were blessing God with is now the tongue that you are cursing others with. James tells us these things ought not to be so. This is one of those moments where I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, whether I come to youth group because I really desire to, or whether my parents force me to, or grandma forces me to, whatever the case may be, if I call myself a Christian, God's word is saying, if you are like that, if you're the person that's blessing God on the one hand, and then as soon as the service is over, you're cursing others, gossiping, slandering them, these things as a Christian ought not to be so. And for once, I actually think James is pulling back a punch. I really do. I know we've entitled this series Pulls No Punches because James pulls no punches. But I really think that James is holding back when he says these things ought not to be so. I think instead he should be shouting hypocrite. I really do. Because there is so much hypocrisy when on the one hand, people see me blessing my God and on the other hand, I'm back slandering the very people who are in this room. He's holding back. If we do that, we are hypocrites. Out of the same mouth, there is blessing and cursing. Where's the hope? This is a weighty section of scripture. I mean, even this point that we're in the middle of, this, the tongue is uncontrollable. I can't control this tongue. I can't conquer the tongue. So what is my hope? It's like, even if you tried, even if you're like, hey, I'm not gonna talk about someone. I'm not gonna do these things. I'm gonna control my tongue. The Bible shows me that it's uncontrollable. It's a fire. It's got poison in it. Where's my hope? You see, we've seen tonight that the tongue is powerful. We've seen that the tongue is uncontrollable. So what hope do we have? What I want to do is I want to begin to close. We're going to take a few minutes to close. I say that because it's probably going to take more like 10, 15 minutes, but we're going to begin to close by bringing some application that comes from this section of scripture. And what this is going to do, it's going to help us understand how to bring this powerful tongue, how to bring this uncontrollable tongue under the control of the Holy Spirit. Because what James is saying, what God's word is saying to us is this tongue is uncontrollable if you walk according to the flesh. If you continue doing things the old way, if you continue walking according to the old man or the old woman, you will never be able to control this tongue. You will have the blessing, you will have the cursing. These things ought not to be so. And so what I want to show you is some scriptures that support this section of scripture that will help you bring that powerful tongue, that uncontrollable tongue, under the power of the Holy Spirit, the only one who can control it. So here's what we're going to do. Here's the first one. First one of how to control my tongue by the power of the Spirit. Number one, be quick to listen and slow to speak. First way I can bring my tongue under the power of the Holy Spirit is I need to be quick to listen, slow to speak. We learned this several weeks ago, James chapter 1, verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. First thing that I have to start with, if I want my tongue to come under submission, if I want to live according to what God has called me to as a Christian, these things ought not to be so. I need to be quick to listen and slow to speak. You see, many times the tongue is not controlled, it's uncontrollable, because we are too quick to speak and not quick enough to listen. The Bible even says this further, a fool speaks before he hears a matter out. Speaks further of we need to listen before we speak. So the first way to control your tongue by the power of the Spirit, be quick to listen, slow to speak. People should know you as someone who is a good listener. Someone who, it's like, it's hard to get a word out of them sometimes. That's how good of a listener you should be. Quick to listen, slow to speak. Number two, be quick to pray and slow to speak. Be quick to pray and slow to speak. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Here's my challenge. If you are praying without ceasing, you don't have time to speak. You only have time to speak to God. And I think you're like, that's impossible. I can't just pray so much that I never talk. But I think it's actually the opposite. We talk so much that we never pray. And so I would challenge you to lean more towards the other direction. Try praying so much that you talk less. See, we talk about needing a safe space. And I want you to understand that the Lord is the only safe space when it comes to opening your mouth. You think you're confiding in someone, you think you're talking in private, it's going to get around back to you. But if you talk to the Lord, if you're struggling with a person, if you need to complain about someone, bring something to the Lord, that's the only safe space that is here on the whole planet. Number three, speak well of others. Speak well of others. Do not speak evil of one another. James chapter 4 verse 11 says, you see, whenever you're talking about someone, whenever someone comes to mind, we talk about each other. Talking about someone is not necessarily a sin. It's how you're talking about them. So whenever you're talking about someone, ask yourself, would I be ashamed if I found out they overheard this conversation? That's how you know you're speaking well about them. Because if you're speaking well about them, if they heard that conversation, you'd be like, I can't believe they said that. How sweet. But if you're not speaking well about them, you're like, I hope they didn't hear that. That's how you can kind of keep yourself accountable. Would I be ashamed? Would I be embarrassed? Would I be in trouble if they heard or overheard this conversation? Speak well of others. Number four, do not complain about others. James chapter 5, verse 9 says, do not grumble against one another. It's kind of this idea. I'm so sick of this person. They're just so needy. I'm so sick of this person. They're just so needy. Wrong. That's the perfect definition of an uncontrollable tongue. You want to control it? Don't complain about others. I'm sure Jesus could say the same thing about you, that you are just so needy. I know he says it about me, but he doesn't because he loves me. Number five, do not speak or listen to gossip. That's two. That's number five, but that's two things. Do not speak or listen to gossip. I want to kind of show you how this works out. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28 says, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. You see, if talking about someone once again, ask yourself, would I want to be quoted as to have saying what I'm saying? So when you're talking about someone to someone else, do I want to be quoted? Do I want my name attached to this? Do I want it to be said that Daniel said, I was in a conversation with him, he was talking about you and he said such and such. You see how that works out? So if you're speaking, ask yourself that question. Do I want my name attached to this? Do I want to be quoted? If someone is talking to you about someone, because remember, don't talk gossip, don't listen to gossip. If someone is starting to share gossip with you, stop them and say, can I quote you in this? Is this something that I can use, I can say? And if they say, no, I don't want you to talk about this, and say, I'm not listening to this because I need you to have your name attached to this. I'm not going to listen unless you're willing to do that. That's how you can stop it. It's a stand. It's a bold stand. It is difficult to do. I've had to do it. And it is not hard for me, or it's not easy for me at 26 years old. And I imagine it's not gonna be easy for you at 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, but it's what God's word calls us to do. And the sixth and final thing, stay away from foul language. Very simple. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put away or put off filthy language out of your mouth. Very simple. That is an easy one. The application is so easy. Stop cursing, stop cussing. It's not cool. It doesn't express anger any better than anything else. It's wrong. Stay away from it. Control your tongue. If you bring these things into submission before the Lord, the Spirit will then be the one in control of your uncontrollable tongue. If you do these six things, hopefully you've written them down or remembered them, or if you need them after service, come see me and I'll get them to you. But if you do these six things, if you practice them, if you cherish them, if you walk in them, it's going to be the Spirit who controls that uncontrollable tongue that James has shown us tonight. Instead of setting a fire where you're burning others because of the gossip and the things that you're saying coming out of your mouth, God's going to do a work by the power of his Spirit to spread a fire of unity amongst this youth group, of unity amongst the church, if we can control this tongue. Tonight we've come, and as I read through this text, as I've come to it and spent hours in the middle of it. I'll be honest and real with you. I've come realizing that there's areas in my life where I failed in this, where I failed to conquer my tongue. You guys may have even, some of you may have experienced it. Maybe like, yeah, there was that one time, Daniel, I remember. And I failed in this. And that's oftentimes what's neat about being, you know, we've got this section of scripture. I'm kind of going off topic here for a second, but we've got this section of scripture where at the very beginning he says, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you receive a stricter judgment. I realize that what's come out of my mouth at times has been wrong, and I receive a stricter judgment. And what's great though about being a teacher of God's word is you invest so much sweat and time and tears and energy into this that God just convicts you and slaps you and beats you up because he's loving. And he does this and he shows things to you. And this teaching is probably more for me than it is for you. But I hope and I imagine that tonight some of you have come and you've realized you failed to conquer your tongue. Maybe you're sitting there and you're going, man, I've spread gossip and I've messed up, or I've used foul or harsh language, or I've been critical, or whatever the case may be, and you failed to conquer it like I failed. What I want to share with you is in our failure, yours and mine together, that we come to a Savior. We always come back to the cross. At the end of every teaching, at the end of the story, at the end of our lives, we will always come back to the cross. And so we come to a cross as we have failed to control our tongue, but we come to a Savior who was on a cross, and we come to a Savior who has conquered his tongue. Notice how this works out. Tonight, we come and we have a Savior who has been quick to listen to your needs, to your desires, to your heart. You realize that Jesus is quick to listen to you? That was our first point. Quick to listen, slow to speak. Do you realize you have a Savior who has been quick to pray for you and he makes daily petitions for you? That even while you're sinning down here on planet Earth, even while you're doing things, even while there's evil intentions in your heart and there's times where you do things the wrong way, that Jesus is before God the Father and he's praying, he's making intercessions for you. Jesus, we have a Savior who has been quick to pray for us. Do you realize that you have a Savior who continues to speak well of you to his Father, though you have sinned? That the Father observes and the Father goes, man, this sinful person, this sinful kid who can't get it right, and Jesus goes, hey, don't worry, I'm doing the work there. There's goodness there. I've saved this one. I've died for this one. He speaks well of you to God the Father. Do you realize you have a Savior in Jesus who never complains about you, though you continue to use him and though you continue to hurt him? He never comes out of his mouth. He controls his tongue. He never goes to God the Father and goes, God, I'm just so sick of Daniel today. I'm struggling with him. God, could you pray for me? He doesn't do that. He doesn't complain. He continues to not complain. And continues to love us. Do you realize that you have a Savior who doesn't listen to the gossip that the enemy, Satan, spreads about you? Do you realize that the enemy goes before God the Father and talks bad about you and about me and says, give me that one. Give up on that one. That one's messed up over and over and over. See, they messed up 7 times this week. Or see, they've messed up over and over and over. You've told them about that sin. They've stood up in the middle of a church service to confess that sin. They've confessed it to a leader. They're still struggling with it. Give it over to me. And do you realize that in that moment, Jesus doesn't participate in that? He says, no, he's one of mine. Away from me. You see, we have Jesus. As he was dying upon the cross, as he was dying for your sin, as he was dying for my sin, we didn't have a Savior who, upon having the spikes drilled through his hands and feet, upon having the crown driven into his head, his beard ripped off his face, spat upon, mocked. When they say, crucify him, and they're in the crowd, we have a Savior who didn't use his tongue, didn't use his powerful tongue to stop us and say, stop. Didn't do that, though he had the power to do so. He didn't use his tongue. We don't find a Jesus who uses his tongue to condemn our violent act. He doesn't sit there and go, I can't believe you filthy people. I can't believe you sinful people. You've done this to me. I've been perfect. I came to save you. And this is how you treat me. I condemn you. We don't find a Jesus. We don't find a Savior who does that with his tongue. Do you realize that upon the cross, that we find a Savior who uses his tongue as we are there violently killing him, as our sin has put him there? And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's this moment in our lives where God takes the tongue, the powerful tongue, the tongue that no man can conquer, the tongue where we are yelling, crucify him, crucify him. Jesus uses the tongue that he has and says, forgive them, forgive them. That no matter what you've done, no matter who you are, tonight, if you have sinned with your tongue, if you've sinned with any other part of your body, if you've sinned with any other part of your mind, your soul, whatever the case may be, that you can come to the one this very evening who has forgiven you with his tongue. The tongue that you have sinned with, Jesus can forgive you with the tongue that he never did. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I've come to save them. I love them. I'm dying for them. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. And Lord, I thank you so much for this evening. I thank you for conviction. I thank you that, Lord, there are times in our lives where you beat us up. You chasten those whom you love. And Lord, that at times may seem harsh. That may seem wrong. How can a God do this? But Lord, you do this. You bring sections of scripture like this into our lives to mold us, to shape us, to convict us, to change us, to make us more like you. Lord, we're in the middle of a sanctification process, a process of being changed, of being made perfect, of being made new. And Lord, we understand that while it's hard and difficult to go through the struggles of life, that you are using those struggles of life to really bring us into a place of being more like you. And so, Lord, we want to acknowledge that difficulty, but Lord, we want to acknowledge our thankfulness that you would allow that in our lives. And so, Lord, I pray that as we've looked at the tongue, as we've looked at this section of scripture, that, Lord, you'd be faithful to use it to grow us. That, Lord, there would be a change that's taking place even in this very moment by the power of your Holy Spirit. So Lord, help us to bring our tongues into submission to the Holy Spirit. That Lord, you would help us to be quick listeners and slow speakers. You'd help us to pray quickly and talk less quickly. You'd help us to not participate in gossip. You'd help us to speak well of others. You would help us not to complain about others. You'd help us to control what comes out of our mouth when it comes to filthy language. Lord, help us. We can't do this alone. Lord, I want to pray for anyone in here, in this very room, who's been burned. Lord, we understand that this tongue is poisonous, that this tongue is fire. And Lord, there may be those of us in this room who have been burned recently, in the past, over a lifetime, whatever the case may be. And Lord, I pray that you'd bring healing. But Lord, you'd bring healing where they understand that they've done the same thing towards you. And Lord, you were able to say, Father, forgive them. So Lord, I pray that whatever was done to them, they would be able to look over and say, I forgive them. As Jesus has forgiven me, I can forgive them. As I have spouted words against Jesus, crucify him with my sin, I can forgive those who have spoken poorly of me or done things towards me. Lord, I pray for those who have been a part of the gossip, who have been a part of the things that have come out of their mouth, they've been wrong. I pray, Lord, that tonight they would be convicted and they would ask you for forgiveness. Lord, I ask and pray that they would take a further step of their repentance tonight. That, Lord, they would not only be made right with their God, who is faithful and just to forgive us as we ask, but, Lord, I pray and ask that you would give them the boldness and the wisdom to go and seek the person out that they have wronged with their mouths, and they would ask them for forgiveness. And, Lord, I pray that as they do that, you would be honored and glorified, that, Lord, you would get the glory for that as only you can, because, Lord, we understand that high school culture is not good. It's hard. It's difficult. There are divisions. And so, Lord, if people can be reconciled, we only know you can get the glory for it. And so, Lord, I pray that you would do that work this very evening. That, Lord, the person who may have done these things, that, Lord, they would not be able to sleep. They would not be able to continue life on until they go and reconcile with that person and ask for forgiveness. And I pray that person would forgive them. That, Lord, there'd be a moving on. There'd be a unity. Lord, I think of how your word says, behold how good and how lovely it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. And so, Lord, we pray for that. We ask for that. Lord, you even prayed while you're on this earth for your people to be unified. So, Lord, we wholeheartedly pray that. So Lord, I ask and pray now that as we close the evening, that, Lord, you would help us to have good conversations with each other, that, Father, you'd be in the midst of those conversations, that, Lord, we would bear one another's burdens. Lord, I know there's hurting hearts, there's hurting kids here in this room, and I pray that you would send a leader to them or another student who could come alongside and help them through this hurt. And Lord, I pray that you would just give us a spirit of compassion for each other. The Lord, love would prevail in this room. Love would prevail in your church. As Lord, you've prevailed in love on the cross, Lord, may we prevail in love towards each other. So Lord, I thank you once again for this evening. I thank you for these students who were attentive tonight. And I pray, Lord, that we would leave here this evening loving you more than we did before. And so Father, thank you for all that you've done this evening. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.